I literally am sitting in this seat because a year ago, I tried to take my own life. I had gone through a horrible divorce. I was devastated and I was lost and I didn't want to live anymore. Sitting on my kitchen floor, I accepted Christ into my life. Since that time, my life has changed. I am a member of Metro. I have a family. I was baptized here on January 20th of this year. I serve here. This is my home. God has made so many changes in my life and has lit a passion in me that is only explained by Him. God is my life's compass. He is the light in my darkness. God is my Savior. My name is Sadie Holland, and that's who God is to me.
Wow. Well, I've loved these personal stories. They've just kind of given us a little bit of a glimpse of the difference that knowing God can really make in our lives. Well, life is just full of change. There's just constant, continual change. And the rate of change, I mean, you look back over the last few years, it is just accelerating like crazy. I mean, we used to listen to music on records. Most of you probably don't even remember that, but we did. We listened to a record. These were these like vinyl discs. There's kind of this retro deal happening where it's kind of becoming cool to have records again, but we actually listened to music on records. And then we went to 8-tracks. There was this change. We went to 8-tracks. 8-tracks, I don't know, they never really caught on fully. Some of you may not know much about the 8-tracks, but then we had cassette tapes, and that caught on. We had cassette tapes for quite a while, and then we moved to CDs, and then what happened is we started getting to the point where you had the iPods, technology really started kicking in, and now we listen to just about anything that we want to on our own phones. I mean, we have got our playlists and we listen to it and everything. I mean, it's just amazing, the technology, and we just kind of take all that for granted. But when you talk about, I mean, just phones, you think of the changes in phones. The phones that we had, the first phones we had, they were these rotary phones. You kind of put your finger in this deal and you kind of did this circular motion on the deal to kind of make it go. I mean, it's hard to even explain that now, but if you never saw them, but if you use those. And then there was this major advancement. They went to push button phones. I mean, that was like, whoa. And it just sped the whole process up. I mean, it was so neat. And then they had portable phones. Some of you may not remember before that, but you got portable phones, which meant that you weren't limited by the cord anymore. I mean, you could walk around the whole house. You could even walk outside your house some at times, depending on where your receiver and the whole deal was. But you'd go outside and it's like, wow, this is really neat technology. But then it all changed. And we had cell phone that came into being. But I don't know if you remember the first cell phones. They were like these great big honking, like brick-sized things. Any of you here remember the first cell phones? Whoa, I'm impressed by you guys. I really am. I wasn't expecting that. These enormous things. I remember the first time I saw it, I didn't know what this guy was carrying around. But then over the years, those have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. And now we have these little cell phones. Although now it seems like they go getting larger, and sometimes people are carrying phones. I think they're tablets that they're carrying, but anyway, they we have these things that do almost everything. I mean, you can you listen to your music on these things. You can watch movies and shows on them, and it's like it's no big deal. Yeah, I mean, you can do everything. They're like these very powerful computers that we just carry around with us in our hands. And if you don't know anything, what do? You Google it. You just ask the question like, I don't know, we'll never find that out. Or you would have to do all this massive research. Now, you just Google it and then you know the answer in no time. I mean, technology is changing all kinds of different things. So to the point that these days, over 95% of Americans have cell phones, over 77% have smartphones that allow you to do all these different things. It's not just, you know, the cell phones, it's changed. You got other innovations that are out there. You got Uber just changing the way the transportation industry works. I mean, these days, you can actually order your favorite food from your favorite restaurant, have Uber people come pick it up and deliver it to you. I mean, you don't even have to hardly go to a brick and mortar anymore. You can order virtually everything online. We don't even think that much about it anymore, but things are changing. Things have been changing, and then the pace is just continually accelerating. Life is moving at such a high speed, and there's just this constant change. But the change isn't just out there somewhere. I mean, we change. You know, the people around us change. You got GPS. This is another change. I mean, we get used to using GPS for everything. Some of you, even though you've been coming for some time, I mean, you probably use GPS to get here because we've just become dependent on GPS. I mean, things are changing, and some of those changes, I mean, it's progress. It's good. It's healthy. You know, it's positive. All those things. But some of the changes are just, you know, frustrating, and they lead to chaos and confusion in our lives. There's just all this change is taking place, but too much change leads to stress. In fact, over the years, time after time, they've done studies and they found that too much stress, good or bad, interestingly. Or too much change, good or bad, leads to stress in our lives. Obviously, like the loss of a loved one, the loss of a spouse, going through a divorce, losing a job. I mean, those are stressful things. And that kind of change leads to stress in our life. But good things, good change in our life, getting a promotion, moving into your dream house, having a child, those kinds of changes also lead to stress in our life. And as a result of all the change in our life, people are beginning to wonder, what can I anchor my life in? Is there a solid foundation that's out there that will lead to stability and security in my life? So the question kind of becomes, is there anything that is permanent? Is there anything that's like reliable? Is there anything around me with all the change that's happening all the time? Is there anything that never changes that I can anchor my life in? And the answer to that is a resounding yes. I want you to look at what Scripture says. James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, look at this, who does not change like shifting shadows. And you might circle or underline or highlight those words right there, who does not change. Now we're in this series, Who is God? And what we're talking about is, what is God really like? Not what do I think he's like, what have I heard he's like, but what is God really like? And we're looking at these different attributes of God. And what I want to look at today is the attribute, this aspect of God that theologians refer to as the immutability of God. God's immutability. And the word immutability simply refers to the fact that God never changes. God never changes. God is unchanging. In fact, look at what God himself said, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the beginning of that verse. God says, I, the Lord, do not change. I do not change. In the midst of our constantly changing society, God is always the same. Always has been. Always will be. See, he doesn't need to change. He doesn't need to improve. He doesn't need to work on rough edges. He doesn't need to get better, and he won't get worse. He just is, because he is a perfect, unchanging God. We're not perfect, so we do change. Everything around us changes. Everything in the world changes except God. God doesn't change. He is the unchanging God. And we change, obviously. I mean, all it takes is looking in the mirror, and we change. Our hairstyles, they change. Some of us, we lose hair. We grow longer hair. The color of our hair changes. Sometimes that's intentional. Sometimes it's not so intentional. And it just goes turning gray. It goes turning white. It just disappears. You know, whatever. We gain weight. We lose weight. We change. We change the way we act. We change the way we look. We change the way we think. We change the way we feel. We change. There is change that is happening all the time. But I want to talk about today, because there is an unchanging God, there is a source of security and stability in our lives. So what I want to do is I want to look at three things about God that never change. And if we will focus on these three things, if we will focus and remember and anchor our lives in these three things about God that never change, it will lead to security and it will lead to stability in our lives, because these are things that we can count on. We can always count on, because there is an unchanging God. And the more fully we come to know this God, the more fully we understand who this God is, the more stability and the more wholeness we're going to experience in our lives. That's why this series, that's why getting to know God is so, so critical in our lives. So what are these three things? Number one, God, the attributes of God never change. God's attributes never, ever change. Now, as we've been in this series, the truth is we've just barely scratched the surface on the different aspects of who God really is. But hopefully, this has been enough to intrigue you, to help you realize, man, I need to know God in my life. But we need to know that the attributes, all these different aspects of God that we've been looking at, you can count on them, because they don't change. You can rely on these things, because God stays the same all the time. And we've talked about the omniscience of God, that God knows everything. He is the all-knowing God. It means He knows everything there is to know about everything that is going on, everything that has gone on, everything that is going to go on in the universe. He knows everything. He knows everything there is to know about you, the good, the bad, the ugly. He's not shocked. He's not surprised when things come into your life. And He still loves you, and He still loves me. We talked about the omnipresence of God. That means that God is everywhere, that God is all present. That means wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you go through in your life, you will never be alone. God will always be with you. We talked about the fact that God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He has the power, and He used the power to create the universe that we see. And He used that same power to bring Jesus back from the dead. And He makes that power available to us. But we have to activate the power. And we talked about how we go about doing that on a day-to-day basis. And we talked about the fact that God is sovereign, that He is in control. There is nothing that is beyond the power or the influence of God. And because God is sovereign, which means that He is in control, we don't have to freak out. We don't have to worry. We don't have to try to control everything. We don't have to. Because we know God is in control, we can trust Him. And we talked about the fact that God is love. He is love. He loves you. You can know. I mean, you may have questioned, you may have wondered, does anybody love me? Does anybody care about me? You can know that God loves you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to vacillate. You don't have to question. You don't have to get uptight wondering whether those things are going to be, whether God is going to be the same or not. You can rely on the fact that God is unchanging. You don't have to worry, is God going to come through? Yes, He is going to come through. I mean, just think about one of those pieces of just all the attributes of God. Think about His love. Look at this verse. We looked at this earlier in the series, Jeremiah 31, verse 3, beginning of the verse. God says, I have loved you with what? With an everlasting love. Thank you. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I think about that. You were created to be loved by God. You were created to be loved by God. And His love is consistent. And His love is continual. And His love is unchanging. He will never love you anymore. He will never love you any less. His love is unchanging. I mean, one of the reasons we get frustrated with the relationships is because people are inconsistent. People change. Have you noticed that? And people are fickle. They change from one day to the next. As you have wives say, oh, you know, I don't understand. My husband isn't the man that I married. You have parents who go, you know, I don't know. I mean, they're just bewildered. Look, oh, my sweet little child, there's this precious little baby, and now they've grown up, and there's this rebellious teenager. I mean, what's going on? I don't understand. You have young ladies, I don't understand my boyfriend. I mean, one day he's so romantic and so nice and so thoughtful and sensitive and all those things, and then he can be so rude and so insensitive, and it's like he doesn't care about me, he's just mean. I don't understand what's going on. You talk to kids about their parents. They go, oh, my parents, they're just so inconsistent. I mean, they say one thing one day, they say another thing another day. I mean, they're just so unpredictable. And that inconsistency, that unpredictability that we as people have, it leads to stress. It leads to tension in our relationships. But God never changes. God never acts outside of His character. He always acts like Himself. Nobody ever says, I wonder what got into God. No. We know He's God. God never changes. I mean, we're going through a rough time. We're at a low ebb, or we feel sick or something. Somebody say, oh, you know, he's just not being himself. She's not being herself. Nobody ever says that about God, because God is always Himself. So what's the point? The point is this, you can write this down. I never need to doubt God loving me and being there to guide and strengthen me. I never need to doubt that. I never need to doubt God loving me and being there to strengthen and guide me. In my life, I can be confident that God is always going to be the same. No matter what happens, no matter what I do or how I feel, God's love will never change. No matter what I do, no matter what I feel, I will never be alone. God will always be there. No matter what I do, no matter how I feel, God's power and guidance will always be available to me. That means that you can go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow, and God has not changed His mind about you while you were sleeping. I mean, that leads to stability in our lives. Now, the truth is, there are some days where I'm just not that loving. I know that shocks you, but I'm not. I mean, I'm not loving to my wife. I'm not loving to myself. I'm not loving to my kids. I'm not loving. I mean, I'm moody. I'm cranky. I mean, I'm frustrated. Things haven't gone the way that I want them to go. I mean, they are just those days. I'm just in a funk. I am just not a loving person. But God never has bad days. God is never grumpy. God is never cranky. God never changes. And we can rely on that. We can be confident of that. So when tragedy strikes, or when we pray and we don't get the immediate answer we were looking for, or things don't go quite the way that we were hoping that they would go, we can know, we can remember, we need to remember that God is still in control. He is still with you. Even though you may not feel His presence, He is there. And God loves you. And that love has not changed one bit. And His power is available. His strength is available to you. That is a stabilizer in our lives. But not only do we know, can we live with the assurance that God's attributes never change, but number two, the second thing about God that never changes, that God's truths never change. his truths, the principles, the guidelines, the commands, the instructions that God has given us for life, they are timeless. They are. Look at this scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 8. It says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." What's it saying? It's saying that God's truths are always fresh and relevant. They're never outdated or obsolete. I mean, people are constantly coming up with all kinds of new ideas, new philosophies. They hear about some new path or some new guru that they think is going to help them find enlightenment, help them find meaning in their life. But 5, 10, 20, 25 years from now, I mean, that's not even going to be on their radar, because those things, they're really not reliable. They're not consistent. They're not going to help you become the person that you're made to be. They're not going to help you deal with the problems that you have, the struggles in your marriage. And yet we'll turn to those things. I mean, there are times I'm baffled at some of the things that people believe in. We need to build our lives on something a little more stable, something a little more permanent. We need to build our lives on something unchanging, not on the latest fad that's in vogue these days. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Never. It's amazing that there has never been a book that has been more attacked, more criticized, more banned, more burned, more outlawed, more ridiculed, more maligned than this book right here, than the Bible. And yet the individuals, the Caesars, the dictators, the fanatics who ridiculed it, who tried to ban the Bible, you know what? They're dead. But God's word, his truths are still around. They have stood the test of time, because God's word never changes. It is unchanging. It is unchangeable. Look what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 152. He said, "Long ago I learned from your statutes that you, God, established them to last," what? "Forever." You established them to last forever. God says the principles, the laws that I laid down are made to last forever. Can you imagine if the rotation of the earth were inconsistent? Can you imagine if gravity reversed itself every few days? I mean, it's Monday. I wonder if there's going to be gravity today. No, we don't have to worry about that. You see, when God made the universe, he established some universal laws, some laws of nature, laws of physics that don't change. And just like God has established the universe to operate on physical laws, there are certain moral laws, there are certain spiritual laws that God has set in place that we can't afford to ignore, because they don't change either. And when we do ignore them, it leads to turmoil. It leads to frustration and heartache and chaos in our lives. And you remember as a kid, like playing, and you'd play with some of your friends, and they were just constantly changing the rules. I mean, you start out with certain rules, and then when it was kind of convenient for them, things just twisted. And it's just so frustrating to play that. I mean, it could have been a board game of some kind, or it could have been like you're out playing baseball or wiffle ball or something like that. You hit a ball, and it's just this great hit, and you take off around the base. You're like, no, that's a foul ball. Why? Because it was to this side of this rock. I didn't even see the rock, but it's okay. It's a foul ball now. It doesn't count. And you're like, they did. God isn't like that. God doesn't change the rules. He doesn't change the principles. God has established some laws and principles and commands in his words that don't change. Whether it's 1805 or 1977 or 2018 or 2095. There are some absolutes. There are some things that are always right. And there are some things that are always wrong. It's not just a matter of opinion. God doesn't invent new rules for each generation. He says, I established them to last forever. We just need to follow them. We just need to apply them to our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, that's the key right there, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus said there are two ways to build a house. Maybe you remember this parable that Jesus told. He said, you can build your house on the sand or you can build your house on a rock. But if you don't build your house on a solid foundation, what's going to happen is when the storms of life, when change comes into your life, that structure, that house, it is going to crumble. You got to build your life on a solid foundation. God's saying that if you build your life on some of the current fads, or if you build your life on some current therapy or popular blog that you've been reading or podcast that you've been listening, you're going to be building your life on shifting sand. It's not going to give you the solid foundation that you lead to. It's going to lead to instability in your life. But if you want to build stability in your life, so when the changes come in to your life, they will stand, then you need a foundation that never changes. You need to build your life on God's word. It will always be the right thing to do. There are times where it may be hard to follow God's truths. It may be very counterintuitive. It may even be very unpopular to follow his ways. I'm telling you, it will always be the right and the best thing to do. I think about it. Doesn't that simplify life? Instead of living your life, oh, do I believe this? Do I believe this? Here's this new thing that can come out. I don't know. Just to commit yourself to following God's truths and principles for life and applying those. And that simplifies life because you're building your life on an unchanging foundation. Now, I doubt that there's a person here who believes all the news that you read or hear about online or that you watch on television or whatever. And yet, a lot of times, we will spend so much more time listening, reading all this stuff that we're not even sure we believe all of it than we do immersing ourselves in God's Word, trying to get clarity, trying to internalize these truths, these principles, these guidelines that can help us navigate life that are reliable. So what's the point? The point is that stability comes from building my life on God's unchanging truths. Stability comes from building my life, basing my life on God's unchanging truths, his unchanging principles and guidelines that he's given us. In other words, I don't base my decisions in life on what everybody else is doing. I don't base my decisions in life on what the hottest talk show hosts are saying. I don't base on what my friends or my coworkers are saying. I mean, they may be just as confused and just as wrong as I am. I base my decisions. I build my life on something that will never, ever change. I need to build my life on God's word. It is still relevant. It is still impacting and transforming lives, and it will still be relevant 50 years from now. I need to build my life on a solid, unchanging foundation. God's attributes, who God is, his character never changes. God's truths never change. Number three, God's purposes never change. God's purposes, God's plans never change. And God's purpose for your life never changes. No matter what happens to you, it never changes. Look at this verse, Isaiah 14, verse 24. It says, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen. Look at that. What's it saying? It's saying that God is at work in human history. History is his story. That's what history is. It's his story. It's a story of what God is doing in the world. Every so often, you know, you'll hear people say, hey, man, I have no idea what's going on in the world. I have no idea what the world is coming to. I'll tell you what the world is coming to. It's coming to the climax that God planned from the very beginning. God has a plan and a purpose, and ultimately everything is moving towards the culmination of that plan that God set in place. And then Christ is going to come back. Now, I don't know. I don't understand all that that involves. I don't know all that the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. I know that God is in control and everything is ultimately moving towards the culmination of what God set in motion, His plan, His purpose in the world. When's it going to happen? When is Jesus going to come back? I don't know. I mean, Jesus Himself said, nobody knows, not even the Son of Man knows when that will happen. Nobody knows. Only the Heavenly Father knows the time and the hour when that is going to be happening. So kind of an aside, if anybody ever tells you, you ever hear, and we hear it every so often, oh, Jesus is coming back, the world's coming to an end on such and such a day, you can know. Just rest assured, it's not happening then, because God made it very clear. No one knows the day or the hour. But here's what we can know. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you know and have a relationship with Him, what you can know is that God is in control. Everything in history is moving to the culmination of what He set in place, and you, because you are on His team, you are on the winning team. You can know that. Look at this scripture, Psalm 33, verse 11. It says, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Well, let me ask you, do your plans ever change? Yeah, of course they change. How often do they change? A monthly, weekly, daily, sometimes hourly? Why? Why do our plans change? Our plans primarily change for one of two reasons. One is because we don't have foresight into what's going to happen in the future. There are things that we don't know because we're not all-knowing. And so all of a sudden, when we gain more information, we have new insight. We go, oh, I didn't know that. Now that I know that, I'm going to change my plans. That's one of the reasons that we change. The other reason that we change is because we don't have the power, we don't have the strength, the resources to implement at times the changes that we would like to be able to make. We don't have the time, we don't have the energy. But because God is omniscient, which means that He knows everything, and because God is omnipotent, which means He is all-powerful, He doesn't have to change His plans. Look at this verse, 1 Samuel 15, verse 29, says, He who is the glory of Israel, talking about God, does not lie or change His mind, for He is not a human being that He should change His mind. God doesn't change. And some of you may be going, but aren't there some scriptures in the Bible where God does change His mind? Well, on the surface, it appears that way. But as you look at these scriptures closely, you realize that it isn't actually God that changes, but it's people that changed. For example, God told the people of Nineveh, if you don't repent, I'm going to destroy the city. And the people of Nineveh, they repented. And He didn't destroy the city. But in reality, it was the people who changed. It wasn't God. God doesn't change. God's will never changes. But God does will a change. God does will changes. So what's the point? The point is that God does not have a plan B for my life. You write that down? God doesn't have a plan B for my life. Think about this. I want you to think just a moment. Think about the biggest mistake that you've ever made. Shouldn't be real hard, hopefully. Think about the biggest sin you've ever committed, or the biggest regret, or it might combine these, the biggest disappointment. Get some of those ideas in your mind. Biggest disappointment, biggest mistake, biggest sin in your life. Do you think that God knew about that regret, that you are so embarrassed and ashamed? Do you think that God knew about that in advance before you ever even did it? Yes, He did, because God knows all things. He knew about that. He knew about it in advance, and He has woven that into His plan for your life. He already knew that that was going to happen. Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. You see, even the things that are bad, even the mistakes, even those regrets that we've made, that we hang on to, that we've had in our life, God knows about those, and God can weave those together, and he can bring good even out of those things. He has included those in his plan for our lives. So what does that mean? What that means is no matter what has happened in your life, you are still, get this, no matter what has happened in your life, you are still on plan A. You are still on plan A. You see, people say, well, you know, I made this mistake in my life. I went through this divorce, or I did this, or I did that. And I guess, you know, I guess I'm just going to have to settle for second best. There's just one problem with that. That little phrase, second best, isn't found anywhere in Scripture. You are still on plan A. God knows everything that is going on. He knows everything that has gone on. He knows everything that is going to go on in your life. And even the mistakes, even the blunders, even the sin in your life, and all those things, they fit under the all things work together for good category in your life. Even the mistakes, even the sins, the things that you've done that are wrong, you can learn from them. God wants you to learn from them, and he wants to use those in the plan and the purpose that he has for your life. But you are on plan A. And his plan doesn't change. So what's God's plan or purpose for my life? God's plan and purpose for our lives is that we know him. Not that we know about him, but that we know him personally, that we know him intimately, that we have a relationship with him. God sent his own son, Jesus, into the world to redeem us, to bring us to himself so we could experience forgiveness, so we could experience actually a new life. I mean, that's his purpose. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the fullest. He doesn't want us just to live, just to exist. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to live life to the fullest. That's his purpose for our lives. And the only way that we're going to fulfill that purpose, the plan that he has for us, is for us to pursue God, for us to really know God. Part of his plan is that we go becoming more and more and more like Jesus. That we begin to think more like Jesus, that we begin to act more like Jesus, that we begin to love more like Jesus, we begin to treat others more like Jesus. That's why the goal of this series has not been for you to just gain more information, more facts about God. The goal of the series has been for you to come to know God. And I hope that this has stirred something in you, that you have realized that there is an amazing, unchanging God that loves you, that wants to walk with you through whatever you go through in your life. But in order for you to experience the fullness of what God has, the plan and the purpose that he has for your life, we've got to come to God and humbly admit, I need you, God. I am incomplete without you. And we need to make pursuing God, knowing God, the passionate pursuit of our lives. And I hope that during this time, as we've talked about these different aspects, these different attributes of God, that something has clicked inside of you and you've realized internally that it's not just about praying a little prayer here and there. It's not just about reading the Bible a little here and there. It's not about just showing up and patting yourself on the back and then just kind of going through the motions, just then going on about life. It's not about that. It's about coming to know God deeply. more deeply and more fully than you ever had. Make knowing God the passionate pursuit of your life. That is the purpose for which you're here, to know God and to experience the life that He has for you. And take some time this week, each day this week, take a moment each day and just pray this simple prayer. Say, God, I want to know You more fully and more deeply than I ever have. Would you do that? God, just start right there. God, I want to know You. I really know You, not just know about You. God, I want to know You more fully and more deeply than I ever have. And take some time to reflect on some of these scriptures that we've looked at, the different attributes of who God is, as you seek to know Him, really know Him, to know His power, His resurrection power, to know, to experience His glory in your life. That's what it's about. It's not just showing up. Take some time, journal, write out. How does knowing God, how is that going to affect my life when I anchor my life in Him? You see, security and stability comes from being anchored to an unchanging God. You want to experience security, stability in your life. You want to experience confidence, even get clarity on the purpose, the true purpose for your life. It comes from being anchored to an unchanging God. You see, something else that hasn't changed, and that's God's plan of salvation. It hasn't changed. See, the only way to really know God is by faith in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. Not I'm one of the ways, not I'm a good way, not I'm the best way. I am the way. And that plan has never changed. And the invitation has never changed. God invites you to come to know Him through a relationship with Jesus by placing your faith in Jesus. I love the first line of a book that Rick Warren wrote a number of years ago, best-selling book, The Purpose Driven Life. The first sentence in that book, when it comes to talking about God's purpose for our lives, is this: it's not about you. It's not about you. We get all confused. We think it's all about us. You want to know your true purpose. It doesn't start there. It's not about you. Then he goes on in the next sentence and he explains it. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It is far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know, look at this. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. God's purpose for your life, get this, please understand this. God's purpose for your life overflows out of His unchanging purpose. So if you want to know your true purpose in life, you need to understand God's unchanging purpose. And to understand God's unchanging purpose, you need to know God. Not just know about God, but you need to know God. And to know God, you need to want to know God. And you need to spend time with God. Just like any other relationship, if you're going to get to know someone, and whether it's a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, it's your own spouse, to really get to know them, you got to spend time with them. You got to get to know their past, their background. You got to know what they like, what they dislike. You got to know what they're good at, what they're not so good at. Things they love to do that they're passionate about. The things they can't stand to do. That's how you get to know someone. And the same is true when it comes to God. And when it comes to people, I mean, people change. And as a result, they let us down. But God is unchanging. And so as you get to know God, we can trust Him. He will be faithful. Whatever you do in your life, make knowing God the passionate pursuit of your life. You will never discover and understand your own purpose until you know God. Get to know God. Stability, security in your life. It comes from being anchored in an unchanging God, a God that you can count on. Get to know Him. Spend your life getting to know God more fully, more deeply than you ever have. You bow your heads with me? Are you stressed because of all the things, all the changes going on all around you? Are you uptight because of the uncertainty of the future? Would you like to have a rock-solid foundation to stabilize your life, your family? And I invite you to make knowing Jesus the passionate pursuit of your life. Would you pray in your heart? Say, God, I believe that you love me. I believe that you know everything there is to know about me, and that you are with me, that you're always there, and your power, your strength is available. God, I believe that you are in control, and God, that you are unchanging. You are the anchor that I need. And when you say, God, so today I am putting my trust, my faith in Jesus. I want to follow you. I want you to be the anchor in my life. And then would you pray and say, God, I want to make knowing you the passionate pursuit of my life. Would you say that and mean it? God, I want to know you, really know you more fully, more deeply than I ever have. I don't want it to be games anymore, God. I want to know you. I want you to be the anchor of my life. I don't want to live without you at the center of everything. I want to pursue you. I want to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.